Sunlight hurts my eyes. No sunlight today on October 13th, 7:17 a.m. It's cloudy as hell outside. Ain't no sun today. Only gonna be 58 degrees, maybe. It's sunny in Northern Virginia. Cause the weather's almost never good. Except for once in a while, like yesterday. Oh, yesterday was fine. Yesterday, the weather was fine. Yesterday. But today it sucks. When the day the ladder hit. Except there's gonna be seemed impossible than been. When someone else instead of me always seems to know the way. The great Bill Withers. I don't know, is Bill Withers still alive? Let's find out. I hope so. I have a feeling the answer is no, though. Is Bill Withers still alive, Google? Oh. Bill Withers.
According to Wikipedia, William Harrison Withers Jr. is an American singer, songwriter, and musician who performed and recorded from 1970 until
1985. There's an is there. He is born, he's only 80, and he lives in Slab Fork, West Virginia? What? Dude, Bill, I might go see you. What? I don't know if you can just go hang out with Bill Withers. You might be able to. Anyway, there's a couple really nice remakes of that song. So there's one by Twista I really like, but it's not really PC. I tried playing. I was like, I can't put this on the podcast. Anyway, what's going on, everyone? It is Saturday morning, October 13th, 2018. It's 7:20 in the morning, and it's 4:20 on the West Coast. All right, so it is gray outside, but the sun might want to come out at some point today. I don't care if it's going to be cloudy today. It's still going to be a good day in the DMV, even though the weather's it's a rough area to live, I tell you, outside the nation's capital. You can see what it's doing to our president. A lot going on today. Hopefully it'll be a good day. I think it will be a good day. There's a lot of hockey starting today at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be working on a hockey video after this and releasing the picks for the day. Maybe I will go to Slab Fork, West Virginia. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look where that is right now. It can't possibly be anywhere near where I am. I'm sure it's like at least a 5 or 6 hour drive. Let's see here. Slab Fork, West Virginia. There's no way I'm going there now. It's 232 miles away from where I am. So, less than 5 hours. Where is that? Well, that's definitely a place I'm going to stop off next time I go through the area to see if I can speak to the great Bill Withers, because that's a great song. And it can be a lovely day every day. Is it really a lovely day today? I think so. There's a lot of turmoil going on. And one might think, really powerful hurricanes are growing out of nowhere, or at least they're coming on so fast. We're being so inundated with high energy news that we can't really process it all. And in a lot of ways, I think that hurts our ability to react. I bet you as many people didn't evacuate from the Florida Panhandle area as normally would have. If there had been a week of, there's a Category 4 coming, like the third largest storm in American landfall history is coming to your area, you're going to want to get out. If people knew that was coming, instead of just a 2 growing into a 3, growing into a 4 overnight, which is what happened, really hurt the area. We have so much news, obviously the political news. It is a lovely day. It can be. I think I volley a couple different things in my head sometimes, many different things, but one of them is criticism, right? Whenever you get hit with criticism, it's good to internalize some of it so that you can adapt to it. There's also a philosophy of ignoring it completely so that you just don't accept any of that internalized criticism and it doesn't negatively impact you that way. That's kind of what Trump does, and a lot of people that are just solely focused on one direction. People that eat McDonald's every day and don't get a heart attack at age 72 are, I don't know how you do that, man. But they're just ignoring reality. And eventually it comes back to bite you, but you can just keep going one direction. Anyway, so do you internalize critique or not? And you should at some level, right? Take a little from column A, a little from column B. And so critique I've gotten before is I don't sound happy. I seem like I'm not happy. On Facebook, I don't really think I get that a lot in person, but I get it on Facebook. And it's because I guess I complain a lot on Facebook and I vent and I call out what I see as what upsets me in the world. You know, a lot of politically, a lot of what's going on with the president, obviously. And so I think people think that I'm unhappy all the time. Is that true? No, I'm not unhappy most of the time. Actually, I'm really happy most of the time because not all I see, but most of what I see and most of what I tend to focus on are optimistic views of the direction we're going and also using what's available to make life better every day, making life a little bit better and easier every day. I used to mention this in a podcast where I'd say, you know, pick one thing you're going to solve today, one thing that annoys you about life. Whether even if it's a big problem or a small problem, just hit one. Try to focus on one, and then it starts to become a pattern. It starts to become habitual, and you start to approach everything in that way and say, why is this this? Why is this this? Why is it? And you sound like a person that's angry all the time because you're always like, why on earth? You know, I was in a place called the Paris Baguette, which is a bakery that I absolutely love, that was out in California, and then they have a location in Centerville, Virginia, right off like 29 and 28 if you're in Northern Virginia. And the Paris Baguette is awesome. They have all these crazy little pastries and everything. And I love that place. I was so happy when they opened one up in Virginia. Now, I went in there yesterday, and I actually complained to the people that work there, but I complained in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way about the fact that when you go to get the pastries out of their like pastry cabinet, the first thing you walk in, they've got all these crazy different things you've never seen before. They're putting like sausage inside a croissant, mixing stuff around. Everything's really creative and has a ton of gluten. You'll be just either constipated or taking a dump, whichever one it is, all the time from the stuff. There is that problem. I'm not even going to complain about that. But the point is, I love the setup. I love their options. I like the place. But here's the problem. You go to get the pastries, you have to get this weird, huge wooden tray that has a wax paper sheet on it. And then you have to use metal tongs to go and grab the stuff out of the glass compartment where it's all held, put it on the tray, and then walk it up. And then I don't know whether they give you a bag or what. Point is, you can't just, there's no like tissue paper or anything to grab the stuff and then just walk up to the register and pay for it. You have to go through this whole process of a tray and a prong and all this other nonsense. And I was like, I complained at the register yesterday. I was like, you know, I love this place so much. I just ran through that whole thing. And I was like, why can't I just grab a tissue paper? And I was trying to explain to the cash register guy, just like, am I the first person that does this? This like, you guys constantly are taking these trays back and forth to the front and the back, and you're wasting all this wax paper when nobody needs it. And he was so far into the idea of me like proposing that something would be easy and just use a napkin so there'd be less waste and yada, yada, yada. And it's just, you get into a mindset of constantly optimizing things around you so that life is easier and is better. And on top of getting the mentality of doing that, you also have the ability, all these different resources that are constantly getting more powerful and more automated to help you achieve that goal. It's actually whatever direction you want to go, now we're going to have the resources to go in that direction. That direction can be good or bad. So the point is it actually leads you to being a happy person because you start solving problems and seeing that much is possible. So why is today a good day?
Why is today a good day?
Oh, I need a massage. I basically broke my neck at the alumni hockey game in Vermont last week. I ran head first. I ran head first into the president of 2017. I can't even remember his name, but good player, good left-handed skater. He kicked my butt. I ran my head right into his back like a brick wall, and like felt like I broke a vertebrae in my neck. My arm went numb. It's just a pinched nerve, I think, but it hurts. Got stretched out. Anyway, it's a lovely day because it was lovely after 18, 19 years to be able to go play with a bunch of guys I've never met that play on a club that I created. That's pretty awesome. Lovely day. And today they have chartered buses and stuff. Good for them. Lovely day. It's a lovely day because we do have the power to work together. All right. It's about 12 minutes in. Let's talk a little current news and some problem solving because that's what I feel like doing this morning. I don't want to get on. This is not a happy topic. Abducting journalists and working with Saudi Arabia and condoning this type of behavior is not something that our president should do, but our president financially is tied to Saudi Arabia and won't do anything. Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, right? The guy running Saudi Arabia right now, starting to do some things that are Putin-esque. Killing people that he doesn't consider to be foreign nationals, really, you know, like former spies leaving or former members of his country leaving and then coming, grabbing them and killing them and doing it in Turkey or whatever, having this stuff on videotape. I don't understand what these world leaders do, how they never accept culpability for what they do. Of course, they ordered this stuff, right? That kind of behavior can't be tolerated. What does the world community do to world leaders that order killings, and we have evidence those killings happen, and the world leaders just deny them? What do we do? There has to be some level of accountability. International court really should be like what should happen is there's videotape of guys going in and killing this Jamal, the Washington Post columnist. There's video and audio of that. Well, the people that did it have to be handed over by the Saudis and have to be tried in an international court and convicted. And whether or not you hold MBS accountable, which obviously he will not want to be held accountable, he has to interact with the world community. And the token of the interaction is the people that you order to kill this man have to serve time for murder because that's what they did. Now, because there's video and audio evidence, it would make identifying those men with facial recognition software and other methods quite reliable. I don't know where those men are, but those men are probably identified. It's a Turkish consulate. So I think that now that's, I won't go too far down it, but I think that that is step one. I think that's also the same method that you should take with the people that attempted the Skripal murders and other poisonings, I believe, in Russia. If we have identification of those individuals as well, as Putin has to hand those people over, can't stop claiming no. And that's the thing, is they never will. And as long as they continue to act that way, then they're starting to become a target themselves. Putin is starting, I mean, starting to. Putin really has to be a target of the world community to be removed as a world power. He's causing too much trouble. And we can't be breeding these other type of dictators that are doing the same thing. All right, moving on. Environmentally, okay. The reason I started with removing some world leaders that are causing problems in the world is we have global problems that we need to deal with. And we can't have Russia funking up our nonsense and these Gulf countries with their oil funking up our nonsense with the world when we have real major global climate issues we need to take care of. So terraforming the planet, meaning adjusting the chemical composition of the planet, atom by atom, molecule by molecule. We do that in a proliferating way using advanced artificial intelligent machine learning type technology, powered by renewable sources, often by the sun. You can end up doing what I would call a beneficial gray goose scenario. And what I mean by beneficial gray goose scenario is there's a theory about how self-assembling mini robots end up taking over the earth and creating a ball of nothing but them. Like, if you program some robot to use ambient things in the environment to energize it and to build copies of itself. Like, if you build a little Tetris style robot to build little other Tetris style, imagine a thing that looked like a cross. And every time it roamed around with legs and stuff, and it grabbed other little pieces of dust and compiled them together and built another cross just like it that had the same instructions to go find other little pieces in the environment to go build stuff that looked like a cross. And you had nothing but little crosses, little gray crosses all over the freaking world. Eventually, if the crosses were able to get all the resources of the world, turn rocks and dust and water and everything into little crosses somehow, then this gray goose scenario, the world just becomes nothing but a bunch of, you know, billions and trillions and zillions of gray crosses everywhere. Well, that theory about how self-assembling mini robots take over the earth doesn't have to happen. It's also kind of difficult for that to happen physically in the environment. But what you can get is a beneficial gray goose scenario, which is you design a robot to have an environmental impact, meaning, say, it takes CO2, carbon dioxide, out of the air. Say you have it, you know, like a molecule that somehow bonds to CO2 and doesn't bond to nitrogen or boron or hydrogen or oxygen or just straight up oxygen, doesn't bond to that in the air, and you put it on a solar plane, and you have nothing but like millions of solar planes flying at a certain band around the earth, where we have heavy CO2 emissions. Or maybe you have something that's on the land that roams around that picks up CO2 out of the ground, kind of like a moving tree would. And you focus in specific areas of the planet and have a global environmental impact by having millions, billions, trillions of these little robots or big robots going and doing this so that we actually have an impact on the planet. We could do this in relation to ocean acidification, which is another byproduct of warming temperatures that has an impact on the planet. So we got to work in an impact on fish. We got to clean up all the plastic in the ocean. You got the Pacific garbage patch. Why can't we have a bunch of little funny little robots that roam through the water that find microplastics and pick them up out of the water, because they tend to float or be up higher. Actually, I don't know if that's true. They sink also. They're everywhere. We need to come up with complex mini submarines that go down to the bottom of the ocean and pick up plastic. Maybe there's probably a benefit to doing that. Point is I see nothing but these crazy potential opportunities for us to leverage the accumulated learning of humanity to solve all these problems. That's why it's a lovely day. That's why next time I get on the road out west, I'm going to go find Bill Weathers and sit down with him and do a freaking podcast. So Ken Bergman's out. I got hockey files and football to talk about. And yeah, there's going to be probably a party tonight. So